Awesome. Yeah, I'm really privileged to be here with you today. In fact, I don't need to be on stage. Don't look up to me. yeah. You know, before I start, there's just something I really want you guys to know. Like, yes, I've gone around the world, I've done cool stuff, have a lot of really awesome stories that I'm really excited to share with you today. But there's one story before I get into that I really want to share. And that's the fact that the reason that I'm here, the reason I'm able to do that is because of you guys, right? Is because of the Christians. Is because on March 13th, 2014, when I gave my life to Christ, 3 days later, on March 16th, 2014, when I came to church for the first time, there's people there to receive me. Not just the pastors, not just Barry, not just Brad, but there was people. There's Aaron Frazier, there's the Shanks, there's so many people. Ordinary, normal people. You guys. Okay, so I just really want you guys to know that the reason these things have happened is fruit from you guys loving me and just being passionate about God and who God is. So just know that this isn't my story, that this is our story, that this is the stories of God, right? And so there's a few questions when we were dreaming this up, and Carolyn sent them to me, and I thought they were really good questions. So how this is going to kind of go is I'm going to work through some of these questions and share a story or two, and then at the end, we have lots and lots and lots of room for questions and answers about my journey. Because I was gone for 15 months, it's hard to pick just one story, right? So, you know, it's kind of like I have like a few main stories that I like to share, and then we can just kind of go from there and really just want to be an encouragement to you guys today, okay? So that's the goal here, is that you guys can leave encouraged, empowered, knowing who you are in Christ, knowing that Christ is calling you here to the mission field that is right outside those doors. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So, that being said, the first question that, you know, they sent me was just, why did you go? Why did I go on missions? And this changed throughout my time on missions, but my initial reason, I'm just going to read from the first blog I ever wrote before I left home. And this is the reason that I gave, and I think it just holds so, so true. And so to quote my first blog that I wrote 2 years ago, I'm tired of the mundane life I've grown to know. God has always called me to live a radical life, to love people in unheard of ways in unheard of places, to minister with a fiery passion and to live a life of love. He wants me to reinvent the meaning of adventure in my own life. I have been given the amazingly rare opportunity to sell all I have, leave it, and follow God wherever he may lead. In the end, all I can say is that I pursued God's will, and he told me, I'm going on an adventure. So I had two options, God's adventure or the mundane life. And so my heart behind that was that I was called. The reality is that God called me to go, so I did. And when he asked me to go again, I went again for another 4 months. And so that took me to a lot of places. The next question is, where did I go? And, I mean, it's easy to list a number of countries, but the answer is anywhere God led our squad, anywhere God led our team, right? So, you know, this, I think, was probably one of the coolest parts of the trip, just because it was completely open to whatever and wherever God called us to go, you know, which did lead me through, like, Spain and Morocco and Greece, Turkey, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Mongolia, China, Nepal, India, Myanmar, Thailand, Laos, Indonesia. And so there's a lot of countries that I went to for sure, but it was so cool because about five of those were not on our original plan, right? But because things fell through or things happened, the Lord worked with it. And one of the amazing things about missions, one of the funnest things about missions, right, is you can't give out what you don't have. And so as you're out there on the mission field, you know, God is just so, so good about working through life with us. And so, you know, it changed me a lot. And that was one of the other questions, is how did it change you? And it changed me because it changed my view of God and people. Before I left the race, I had a healthy view of God for the most part, but I didn't know him as my heavenly father. You see, I had this orphan mindset of how God viewed me, which ultimately led the majority of my actions to be ones that responded out of that mindset. and also viewed God that way, with an orphan view, and how I kind of viewed, I guess you could say I viewed God how orphans view other parents, which was that God loved all his children and loved to bless them and do cool things for them and with them, but that I would never be the recipient of such love. I view people through my lens of minimal experiences and often allowed my own emotions to dictate how I viewed people, rather than actually and practically viewing others through God's eyes, despite how I was, how I was feeling or being treated, right? And I think it's so important. One of the things we learned on the field was how to do feedback. Oh man, that's a tough one, right? You know, how to actually, when you're struggling with somebody, because you know you're living in community 24/7. There's going to be conflict when there's like 8 of you living in a sea canister for a month, and there's like one bathroom kind of like in the corner, and it's this dark, shady area. Yeah, you know, there's going to be issues, right, to work through. And then learning the aspect of like, Lord, I can't see them well. Give me your eyes for these people, because this is my brother or sister, right? And that was a very, very challenging thing. But you know, God worked through that in so, so many ways through experiences and through just a lot of stories, right? And so there's a lot of highlights with the ministry. But one of the coolest things, I think, actually the absolute coolest thing, is that, you know, I've been to a lot of countries, and we were specifically going to the 1040 window. We're trying to go to the hard places. It's like, where's the hardest place in the city? Let's be there, right? And despite going to all these hard places and all these crazy things happening, every single dark place that I went to, I saw God's work. I saw God working. I saw his hand in motion. I saw him doing things in all those places. So it's like, yeah, like, you know, I've traveled the world and I've seen the dark places and I've seen the crazy things. And God is working every single place I went. There wasn't a single place that I went that I did not see God's love working and working and working and working through the believers there. And that was just so incredible, because I thought, you know, oh, I'm going to struggle with that and it's going to be hard and I'm going to have to be like, oh, where are you, God? And, you know, there's certainly some struggles there, but every time God showed me what he was doing there. And it was just so, so incredible. And, you know, I remember one of the highlights. So, you know, we had a lot of openness with this mission to just follow the Holy Spirit. And so one day we were reading Luke chapter 10, or Matthew chapter 10 is kind of the similar thing. And that's where Jesus sends out the 72. Or in Matthew 10, he sends out the 12. And we're like, oh man, like that's really cool. He sends them without cell phones. He sends them without wallets, without, you know, money, without purse, without sandals. Like, why? And this truth still applies today. So we're like, hey, let's pray and pick a day and do this. And let's do this in India and just see what God does. Let's just see. Let's just try this, right? And so, you know, we all kind of agree on a certain day. And the day comes and we're like, okay, we're all going to break into groups of three. We're going to pray together about where the Lord wants us to go today. And then we're going to go there and we're going to do that. And we're just going to see what happens. And the reality is we only get fed if God feeds us today, right? We only get sheltered. We only get to that location and back from that location if God calls us there. And so that was our premise. And so it was Kolkata, India. This was back in February. And we're like, okay, let's do this. So I, you know, broke up into a group of three people, and there's a few other groups, and it was just spectacular. We had prayed, and we'd gotten a few words, and we're like, okay, like, we're supposed to, like, go to this mosque area. We've never been there before. Like, we're seeing a mosque, like, on a lake. It's kind of weird. And so then we just, like, went to the nearest park and searched out this area, and we literally stood outside the mosque with a sign that said free prayer, free healing in Jesus' name. And every single person that came out of that mosque was like, oh, free prayer, Jesus' name, yeah, and lined up. You know, we had the imam, we had all these people, and we just got to pray for them and be with them. And I mean, even getting there was a huge adventure, right? Because we're in Kolkata, India, right? And we're like, walk into the bus station. We're like, we're trying to get here, right? Like, how do we get here? And they're like, oh, you take this bus number. We're like, great. We have no money. How do we get on the bus, right? And they're like, oh, impossible, impossible. No, right? And we're like, oh, okay, thank you. We'll go to the next person, right? Next person. And then they start laughing. This is like big group of guys. And We're like, no, we're going to get there. And then they, like, run up to the guy at the ticket booth, tell the ticket booth guy, like, don't give them tickets, right? And we're like, no, we're going there. The Lord said we're going to go there, and this is the bus we need. So we're just going to do it, right? And then they're like, oh, well, that's your bus pulling up right now. And we're like, great, okay. And so we walk over to the bus, and we, you know, talk to the bus driver, and we're like, hey, we have no money. Can we go on your bus? And he's like, uh-huh. and so it's just like, it was really funny because we kind of like are looking back like, impossible, hey, right? Like, Jesus, right? And so we're, you know, really pumped up. And then we had this really awesome experience. But actually, it's this other group that really was awesome. They ended up going to the slums of Kolkata and getting to pray for people. And they found a believer there and this other guy who was willing to translate. So they're like, yo, let's go back the next day. So we went as a big group. You know, about like 6 or 7 guys, and we all went to the slums that day, and it was a really cool day because I just remember they're kind of going, talking to their contacts, and me and some other guys are just kind of sitting around, and we're like, okay, what do we do? And we're like, oh, there's some kids, like, let's just start playing, right? So we start playing with the kids, you know, teaching them rock, paper, scissors, and then before we know it, we have like 70 kids, and they're all, like, in a circle, and we're, like, teaching them duck, duck, goose now and all these things. And then this one guy comes up. He's like, oh, you're believers, right? And we're like, yeah. He's like, I'll translate for you. And we're like, oh, good, because this charades form of trying to explain duck, duck, goose is really not working. But it was so incredible because that happens. And then we're like, are you a believer? He's like, yeah. And we're like, great, can we do a little gospel presentation? He's like, totally. And so then, you know, the amazing thing about that, too, just before I go there, is that the slums are a really rough place in Kolkata. And so when everyone kept hearing all the laughter of the kids, we had a lot of adults gather around too, and a lot of other adults. And so then the other guys finished with their contacts, and they came, and they started praying for some people. And then we got to do a whole gospel presentation in front of like maybe 80 people, which was really cool, kind of like on the spot. It was a lot of fun. We go back, and then I'm like, man, like, I want to go back tomorrow. So I grab my buddy Eric, and we're like, let's go back tomorrow. And two other guys wanted to go back. We're like, great, awesome. And so then we go back the next day, and we couldn't find really anyone. And so me and Eric are just walking around praying. And we're like, oh, who do we interact with, right? We see one of the kids from the day before. And so we're like, oh, let's hang out with him for a little bit, teach him some English. And he was working on some homework. And his mom comes out, right? And she's like, oh, with her hip, right? And I mean, my friend Eric, I traveled with, was like on that like so fast. So he's like over there, and he's like, we try to learn like 3 words before we go to country, and it's like pain, prayer, and Jesus, right? Like those are the 3 essential words. And so he's like, oh, you know, like I can't remember what the word was in that language, but you know, he's like, oh, can I pray for your pain? Is yeah? Okay. And then he prays for her, and then she's like, whoa, right? And then her neighbor like peeks out, it's like, what's happening, right? And she's like, my hip, like, you know, it's kind of like bouncing up and down a little bit. And so her neighbor comes over and is like, shoulder, like, oh, right? And we're like, oh, yeah, Jesus' name, okay, yeah, okay. And then, you know, we're praying for her. And then, like, by the time we finish praying for her, it's like there's a lineup of, like, 5 people now. And we're like, okay, let's just go for it, right? And so then we end up being there for 2 hours. Because the lineup just kind of kept going and kept going to the point that we're, like, texting the other guys, like, get over here now. Because we got, like, 1 hand on here and, like, a foot over here. And, like, we're not sure if we're praying in tongues or not. But, like, you know, we're, like, praying for, like, 3 things at once, kind of. So, like, help us out, right? And it was a really, really cool thing, though. Because when I came home that day, when we went back home that day, I just remember something that the Lord had shared in all of that was that, hey, you know, when I sent the disciples out without all that stuff, right? What does Jesus say in, I think it's Luke chapter 20, 22, it'd be chapter 22. He's at the Last Supper, and Jesus reminds them, and he says, hey, remember when I sent you out without purse and bag and money or sandal? And they're like, yeah. He's like, did you lack anything? They're like, no, we cast out demons. Like, we healed the sick. It was awesome. And he's like, great. Now take a sword with you. Now have a cloak, have these things. And I remember being like, oh, like, Lord, why? Right? And he's like, that day he taught me a really beautiful lesson, and I just remember going home and praying and hearing from the Lord, and he said, I am the blessing. This is why I sent my disciples out like that, is that they would realize that those things, the money, the tools, those are just tools. But the real blessing is that I am the blessing. God is the blessing. And that with me, you don't need the money, you don't need the shoes, you don't need those things because I'm with you. And wherever I go with you, beautiful things can happen. And those other things are nice tools to have. But you know the source that they come from. You know the ultimate provider. And so that was just a really amazing story. And, you know, not that that happened every day. Don't get me wrong. There was a lot of bad days on the race, okay? So it's like what you see on Facebook is like the great days, the awesome days. You don't see the days where it's like literally I'm like, Lord, I really don't like my teammate. And he's like, great, write them an encouraging note. And I'm like, no. And he's like, do it, do it. And you know, I'm like struggling like, ugh. And he's like, as you're writing this, you're starting to see my perspective of them. So you can just set your stupidity aside for a moment, right? And recognize how I see people. Right, and so then it started to change my perception of how I viewed people, right? And then walking with identity, you know, it's just like Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength, right? What does that even mean, right? And some of the youth, we talked about this at the youth group, and it's something that I'm really passionate about because it's something God talked to me about on the race, was just that it's not about a performance mindset. Before Jesus did any ministry ever, when he gets baptized, what happens, right? The heavens open up. And God speaks, and he says, this is my son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. What had Jesus done at that stage? He hadn't done ministry. He hadn't done a whole bunch of miracles and all that cool stuff, yet God was so pleased because he was his son. And he was saying, hey, out of this place of identity, out of this sonship, everything's going to flow. And God reminded me that that's what it's about, right? It's not about just doing. We get to do those things, but it comes from a place of being so overwhelmed by God's love, by his goodness, by the fact that he's my father. And that's an eternal title, right? I remember being in Indonesia and sharing this with some refugees. Some were believers, some weren't. But I'm like, hey, you're only a refugee for 5 years, 10 years, maybe even 20 years. But if you have Jesus with you, you are a son for an eternity, and there's nothing this world can take from that. It cannot take that from you. That is yours, and that is yours forever. It's like from March 13th, 2014 to eternity for Thomas. So throw at me what you want. Throw the hardship through all that stuff. That's the joy of the Lord. That is our strength, because that is something that nobody can take, right? And so that was just a really powerful lesson that I learned that started to help me recognize that God's my father. And he's adopted me, and that's an incredible thing. And I have access to everything God has access to. And you know, this story was just like one small example of that, right? Of just like kind of reaching out and be like, okay, if this is true, let's give it a shot, right? What do you have for this? Are you calling me to do this right now, Lord? And, you know, I'm just so encouraged coming home because I'm seeing this every day with you guys, and it is awesome. You know, the person in front of us, right, like coming home, I'm like, oh God, like what cool ministry do I get to start? He's like, love the person in front of you. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, I've put so many people in your life, and you need to love them, and you need to love them well. Everywhere you go, just be that blessing and love that person in front of you. But yeah, so that's kind of more or less all I had. I could talk for days and days and days, but I won't. I want to be honoring of your time and also just allow for you guys to ask questions about my trip, about my journey, whatever that looked like. Because I want to encourage you guys that this isn't Tom up on stage being awesome. This is just Jesus, and he's here, and he's with you, and he's with us all. And the mission field is out those doors, right? And it doesn't have to be this big, exuberant thing. It can just be loving the person in front of you. Yeah, so does anyone have any questions? I have two answers for that. Yes and yes are both the answers. am I called to missions long-term? Yes, because I'm a believer. My mission field is out those doors, right? It's right now in this season, it's definitely for my family. There's a lot that God's calling me to do there. Overseas, though, is God calling me overseas? I do believe he will certainly call me back overseas at one point of my life, absolutely. You know, I'm very passionate. I met some underground believers in Ulgi, Mongolia. I got to go back there since last time I spoke here in Airdrie, and it was just fantastic again. And my heart is really for them, for the Kazakh people group in Western Mongolia. And there's lots of opportunities. Like, every country I went to, they're like, come back. Do missions with us forever, right? And so it's like, is there opportunity? So much opportunity, yeah. So I definitely believe that I will go back overseas, probably to either Mongolia or Pakistan. And that's, you know, what that looks like, I don't know. You know, the Lord will reveal that in his timing and in his way. But I definitely still feel a pull to those places. Yeah, good question, though. Anyone else got questions? I'm looking at Zach because he always asks great questions. Yeah, no pressure. But yeah, you know, it's just so amazing when, you know, I just remember going on missions and being like, okay, I can spend 24/7 with God. Like, there's nothing to interrupt me. And then I realized, like, oh, wait, I can do that every day. You know, and it's just that everyday life, right? And it's like, we so often think laying our life down means like jumping in front of a bullet. But it can look like serving every day. It can look like coming from that place of intimacy, like waking up every morning and saying, no, I'm going to spend an hour with the Lord, because before I have a reason for this day to be a good day, I want the Lord to tell me it's a good day because he made it and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. And I think that there's just so much beauty that can happen in that daily laying down of our lives. Yes. Yeah, they'll know us by our love for one another, for sure. You know, that's a strong piece of scripture, but the mission field being out those doors means you don't have to go overseas to do it. It just means that coworker that you have, right, like, hey, can you bring them for lunch this week and just get to know them and then just share with them, like, your view of them, right? Because if you're viewing them through God's eyes, right, God knows me better than me. So when I ask God about somebody, he can tell me a lot more about them than they might even know. And so I can speak into that, right? I can take a coworker for lunch. I can, you know, bring donuts to the people who change my oil, whatever that looks like, right? But, and that's what prayer is for. That is what, oh, that's one of the greatest things about prayer, right? It's like this walkie-talkie to our commander-in-chief, not a room service, right? It's not like, hey, could you bring this, like, right now? Like, yeah, God loves to give good gifts, but it's like, we also get to talk to him constantly throughout the day, be like, hey, I'm going into Starbucks. Like, what do we get to do in Starbucks, right? Like, the barista behind the counter, like, is there any words I can, like, just encourage them with, right? Is there a way I should interact with them? What should I do? Is there somebody else in Starbucks that I could pray for, right? And just, like, excitedly going around your day, right? Realizing that God has you here for a reason and for a purpose and that isn't just by chance. Yeah. I think I saw another hand up. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, re-entry. Re-entry is a fun one. Yeah, you know, it's hard, right? Because you go from country to country and you're kind of constantly adapting to cultures and then you come home. And you're like, whoa, this culture is like so different from everything else I've been in, right? And it takes a moment, right? And you have to learn to be okay with not being okay for a little while. Yeah, you know, re-entry was, well, still is sometimes tough because I'm realizing, like, hey, there's great lessons from the race that I get to bring home, and then there's some that were just for that season, right? And realizing, like, you know, life is the mission. Life is just, you know, yeah, doing life with God. And so, yeah, coming home, it's kind of like, okay, you know, am I on missions? Yes, but maybe in a less official format, and I have a lot of working through to do to adapt back to Canadian culture, right? And realize, like, oh, like, not to blame people, I guess, for the culture they grew up in, right? Every culture has their faults and their flaws. And then coming home, you kind of get that outside perspective the first month or two of your own culture. And there is certainly a battle not to judge that, right? To realize, yeah, that was me before I went on the race because that's what I grew up in. But now I have insight into that and I can bring life and love into that place. And so, yeah, with my family, yeah, they're not necessarily all believers, and so that's just a specific area that God's called me to in this season, and just naturally loving the people he's already put in my life rather than seeking and starting a huge ministry. So, yeah. So I'm back working. I'm working at same place, different position, and which was a battle in itself with the Lord of like, you know, I can't go back to the old job because that'd be a failure. And he's like, why? Isn't there people you can, you know, pray for there? And it's like, yeah. Right? Is there people you can disciple there? Yeah, definitely. Right? And it's like, does it provide funds and you have a car payment to make? Yeah. So why aren't you doing this? Right? And it's just like, again, be like, ah, yeah, you know, you're right, God. Right? And just like realizing, because, right, you go and do missions and you're super excited, you're super fired up, and you come home, you're like, which church wants me, right? And they're like, where's your degree? And I'm like, you know? and it's just like certainly a work in progress there, but it's a blessing. The Lord has blessed me. Coming home, I had, you know, when I first came home, it was like, there's no place to live, no income, and car payments were coming out in like a week. And I was like, okay, Lord, right? What do I do? Reinvent this, right? And he did. And that was a really beautiful thing coming home, seeing how he's like, okay, I want you to live in this place like this, and I want you to go back to this job and do these things. And it was just really beautiful how the Lord worked through that. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lots of prayer. Lots and lots and lots of prayer. It would be fantastic. Yeah, exactly. And you know, that's another really awesome thing too, being on missions, is knowing you have a family back home that's praying for you. That, I cannot explain how much that impacts a missionary. You know, going overseas, we worked with a lot of different organizations, and there's a lot of burnt out missionaries out there that just need prayer and support, right? And so it's so incredible when you're a missionary, you're 6 months in, right? We were the long-term, short-termers, because we were gone for so long, but it was like 1 month stints at a time. So everyone's like, oh, you're short-termers. And we're like, yes, for you, we're a short-termer for a month, but we've been doing this for eight, right? But the power of prayer is incredible, and encouragement. You know, there's nothing like being able to wake up one morning to someone being like, hey, I was praying for you today. What do you need? Do you need shoes? Do you need this? How's your Christmas going? What are you doing for Christmas on the field, right? Those things impact so much. So I just really encourage you too, if you know missionaries out there, just tell them you're praying for them. And it will completely flip their day around. Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. But, yeah, you know, I hope you guys are encouraged. You know, it's been about a half hour, so I don't want to, like, overextend my stay. But, you know, I just really want to empower you guys as sons and daughters, right, that it's not something you have to perform or do, but it's just something that can be so natural to you, right, that because we're sons and daughters, we get to, right? Not we have to, we should, we get to. So what does that look like, God, right? And spending that time in intimacy with him every day, right? Reading his word, falling in love with him every single day. It's such a beautiful thing to get to do. And I just really want to encourage you guys, because you guys are the reason the last 3.5 years have happened. Because I've had believers pouring into me. Because I've had people who believed in me when I didn't, right? And it wasn't just the pastors, right? They were there encouraging the people who are encouraging me, right? And just that power of friendship, that power of relationship, right? We're so called to be in relationship. And there's so many relationships God has in your life that he just wants to love people through you. And he wants to do it in insanely creative ways. That's what I love about God. Right? Going about the day and he's like, oh, go buy this person that or go do that. And it's like, what? Seems random, right? But like, just why not? What do you have to lose, right? You might never see the person again. And so they could have a really cool encounter with God. Right, and that's the reality, is if we're so overjoyed of like, man, this is my father, and this is what he's done for me, and he wants to do even more for you, if we have that understanding, that excitement, it's just so awesome how naturally that happens. But yeah, so I'm going to pray, unless anyone has any last questions. Nope, awesome. All right, I'm just going to pray, and then yeah, we can go about our days and hit that mission field. Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for my brothers and sisters here. Thank you for the ways that they've poured into me, Father. Thank you for the ways that you're speaking to them, the ways you want to be with them throughout the day and remind them of their worth and their value as sons and daughters and the access they have to you, Father, throughout the entire day. That is not just a Sunday thing, Father. Thank you so much for the blessing that they've been to me. Thank you so much for all the incredible ways that you've blessed these people, especially in this season where we're called to give and to think and to be charitable and to be kind, Father. I thank you that that's a season that we can live in constantly, a season of generosity. Yeah, Father, thank you so much for these people, and thank you so much for the opportunity. I pray that as they go out those doors, they'd just be so encouraged and so built up in you. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.